Why don't you just start with your reflections on yesterday, how everything went?
It was quite thrilling, actually, yesterday. There was 500 people or more gathered in St. Gabriel's Park. The atmosphere was great. It was festive. It was amazing. The demo took off. We walked down the streets, really festive and relaxed with music and people on stilts. And when we took the building, it was just incredible, a feeling of elation, if you will. It was quite quick. We took it around 7:30 and entered into the building and quickly started organizing as we had planned, and things went quite well. I mean, there was a few glitches, as there always are, but, you know, self-management works. And the whole evening was fabulous as well. I'm a new mother, and I'm kind of, don't sleep very well at night, but so I often don't have energy in the evening. But I was just running on adrenaline, and my baby and I slept here, and we were able to sleep in a little room. It was fabulous. She cried once or twice, but she seemed to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So I'm really feeling fabulous about having seeing after 2 years the whole thing come to fruition.
Great. So right now, I mean, we're standing in the building. Can you kind of talk a little bit about like this building and what you envision? Like right now, we're in a big empty room here. What you kind of envision some of these spaces to be used for?
Sure. I mean, this all of the use of actual space remains to be decided collectively, but there has already been discussion about how different spaces will be used. There's at the one end, actually, there's like a humongous space, which would be a fantastic space to have shows, like a concert hall or whatever, have movie screenings. You can also have big general assemblies there. It's really huge. Like, you can fit lots, I mean, maybe 500 people in there. So that's probably what's going to be used. The big room will be used for meetings, for big meetings, and for concerts and for film screenings. There's a couple of small rooms that look like they were offices. So they currently there's people sleeping in there. They could be used for for workshops. They could be workshop spaces, sort of classroom spaces, that kind of thing. They could be used for a yoga or exercise or dance space. There's many possibilities. Mm-hmm. There's a space that was a kitchen before and that we're using now as the kitchen. So we set up the kitchen in there. There's a space that's been a small space that is now the infirmary. Mm-hmm. So the medics have set up in there. The space that we're currently standing in that you said was a big sort of empty space is kind of this was where the actual seems like this is where they were actually making the candles. Like, this is an old candle shop.
Okay.
And they would sell them at the front, and then at the back they made them. That's what it appears to that. That is what was happening. And so here, this is like a more of a workshop space. So we will eventually have here probably, for example, the bike repair shop, a workshop for people to come and, learn how to build furniture or whatever, build different things. But it's a huge space, so there's lots of possibilities for having a workshop space here.
Mm-hmm. So is this the first project of its kind in Montreal?
I mean, I think it is the first project of its kind in the sense that, an occupied building being transformed into a cultural and social political space. I think it seems to me the first of its kind. I mean, there are spaces that exist in Montreal that are sort of social cultural spaces that are in rented buildings. So there's the issue of having to pay rent. They're often small spaces. They're often not necessarily very open to the general public or whatever. So we want to really this is a huge space. We want to have it open to anyone who wants to come in and check it out, as long as people respect the code of conduct and the principles, of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have been planning this project essentially for 2 years. Where did the idea come out of?
Mm-hmm. Actually, the idea emerged from a number of us in a neighborhood having sort of been really disappointed with the closing of the Café La Petite Gaule, which was a cultural political space that was set up a number of years ago, had to close because of high rent and a landlord that refused to lower the rent. And it's really nasty because that space is still open, still vacant now, 3 years later. And he could have easily, you know, lowered the rent. But anyway, the cafe had to close. And that's where we used to have, you know, alternative music, alternative poetry, tons of stuff, you know, just meeting up, having a, you know, a drink or whatever, a coffee. So we were really sad because that's where we used to hang out. And so then when we were, one of us actually was also traveling in Europe at that time and went to visit in Rome a number of social centers, the Villaggio Globale and the Forte Prenestina, which are two social centers that are set up. One of them was set up in an old slaughterhouse, another one in an old prison. And they're just incredible spaces. Like, they're self-managed. They're kind of like, you know, this kind of atmosphere, self-managed, 15, 20 years that have been in existence have managed to, one of them has managed to have a sort of a tacit agreement with the city without becoming institutionalized at all. And so they have the space, they're accepted. Even the city at one time wanted to organize a market, a organic, you know, market. And they asked the Villaggio Globale if they could do it in front, you know. And so they don't pay rent. And, you know, so this was very, very inspiring for us. And so at that point, we did research into social centers around the world. We saw that there was 40 in Rome. There's a whole bunch everywhere. And that, why not here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of research on, you know, how they do it. We looked at people's documents. We tried to talk to people, you know, and plan what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday during the support demonstration, a lot of people were talking about, you know, the history of struggle in this area of Point St. Charles, and I know that you've looked at that history a lot. So, you know, how do you see this action in the context of, you know, all of the popular movements that have been happening in this area in the last who knows how many years?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a continuation of the popular struggles that we've seen in the past in Point St. Charles. I mean, if you think about the late 60s, early 70s, there was the setting up of one of the first health clinics, people's health clinics, one of the first people's legal aid clinics, one of the first popular education centers for adult literacy. There was the first food depot. There was really a lot of firsts here, a lot of alternative services, if you will, that were set up by people from the neighborhood for the people from the neighborhood. At the time, there wasn't necessarily, this was in the phase when the state was, you know, developing. Everything was possible. There was space available, so they weren't occupying at the time, but they were setting up alternative services and alternative projects with political undertones. And so here today in the current context, I mean, our kind of space would not be tolerated within the sort of, you know, who's going to give us a building for free to set up an anti-capitalist, anti-authoritarian space, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would actually respect our principles and our way of functioning and our need for autonomy from the state. Mm-hmm. So the actual project, which is also you could consider to be an alternative service with political undertones, you know, is definitely in continuation. And the actual tactic is because of the context, because of the increased gentrification, the fact that the real estate promoters or just developers are just invading the neighborhood. It's the context makes it such that the squat becomes a necessary tactic.
Mm-hmm. Last question I had was, through this report, we're exploring the theme of autonomy, which also a lot of people have been talking about. So, I mean, just for you, what is this word, this theme, autonomy?
Mm-hmm. Well, autonomy is quite a large word, actually, and it's sort of good question.
The first things that come to mind, even
well,
in
the first
nutshell.
Thing that comes to my mind is autonomy from the state. To not actually be funded by the state, given that the state is always seeking to legitimize itself and regulate itself. I mean, that's the main thing that the state does is it needs to regulate itself, and it does that often by looking at how the dissent is organized, by funding the dissent, and then having strings attached, and the dissent is often disappears, or let's say doesn't disappear, but you know, calms down. So we are anti-capitalist, we're anti-authoritarian, we're anti-imperialist. We want to stay that way. We want to work on a society that's it reflects our values, and we feel that we can't do that within if we're funded by the state. So that's one of the main things. There's also the autonomy. I think in terms of autonomy, also applies to the idea that each and every person has a right to have a say on decisions that affect their lives. So most of the people here are not interested in having someone represent them. They want to have a say in the decisions. They want to actually participate directly in the decisions. And that's what we also mean by autonomous, is that people participate in all the decisions that affect them within the social center.
Thanks.
Yeah.